in prayer in regard to Gary. First of all, just his health. I didn't realize the full extent of everything, but he had several operations, and in one operation, there's so much against doctors, against auto mechanics. Everybody's trying to do you in, and that's not true. The body and just things are just difficult to get in and find the problems every time. And it sounds like they're just taking us in the hospitals and everywhere else, but that's not true, in the auto shop and all kinds of shops. But the doctor went in, worked on a ulcer type of situation, but did not tie the muscles back up, and all that was really holding all of Gary's intestines in was his skin. And so they had to go back in and do some major work. And so they told him to stay down for 6 weeks, and we both laughed at that, maybe 6 hours. And main thing, what he's got in the summer, I think 7 camps. And some of the camps take care of all of his expenses, plus a little bit. Some of the camps even end up costing him money, but he doesn't worry about that, and it took me a few minutes to get him to open up with me about things like that. So we need to be in prayer, one, in regard to his health, two, in regard to getting ready for the fall, or for the camps, of course, and for the fall, and getting into schools, and be in prayer about our own area. I don't know what this assembly can do, but I have never known what we can do until we just allow God to say, I'll use you here and I'll use you there. What I want us to do is put ourselves where God can use us, if he so pleases to be so, in contacting schools. So the first thing you want to do is go into prayer. And, you know, if you've got it's one of those things we've been talking about so much, of quenching and grieving. You know, grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you sweat out sin. But we quench the Holy Spirit when he leads us to do something and we don't do it. And for whatever reason, we just, you know, you have a thought and you just, no, I'm going to do that. Well, where do you think the thought came from? Especially if you know that you are in that point in the fellowship and the life, and you get a thought, no, I'm going to do that. Oh, I can't go to that school, or I can't contact that teacher or that person. Just go into prayer and allow the Spirit to whisper loud enough for you to hear it, and see if he's got something that we can do for Gary in the spring. If not, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to force anything. I never have. And yet God has always used the assembly, this assembly, us. And so for your information, he's sending some money because he was behind, meaning in the red. And even though we're not walking, we're not dancing in the black, we certainly had it, and so we sent him some, and he just it overwhelmed him. He said it's the only church in the whole Dallas area that sends him anything with this money from here, and he was just taken back. So I told him we'd be in prayer tonight for his health and for his summer, and so don't know that he'll be in Texas until January, but let's be in prayer for him, ministry, and again, if you sense some way that maybe you can get him in contact with the school, and if you don't want to do it yourself or something, come talk with me, and we'll work it out and carry through whatever your thought was. And yeah, we might walk into some no's, but we're not worried about the no's. We're concerned that if I'm led to do this, then that's what happens. In other words, if you're led to witness to somebody, well, I don't want to witness because the last 10 people I witnessed to said no. And I'm just tired of telling people about Jesus. If they don't want him, the hell with them. And that's where they're going to go, see? No, you can't do that. Because that 11th one may be the one that says, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. So you're going to do it. Just think of all the no's that our Savior got. So and he has to hear every one of them, but you have the opportunity of giving the gospel. So let's be in prayer and in that area for him. Let's be in prayer for each other. Be in prayer for This is Brother Larry going through a great deal and sensing a lot of the work of God and your father. And this is Brother Larry's father, Leslie's uncle, my son, you know, whatever. But I talked with him this morning, and definitely senses the impact of God working in his life. And so it's been prayer that God will continue to lead him and what God wants him to do. People, I know you know this. You of all people know it. But when you decide to walk by faith, you enter into a battle. It's just overwhelming. And I want you to understand, you got to, okay, there's only a handful here, and are we it? No, we're not it. We're not the ones doing it. But I do want you to realize, you take history, you take the period of Job, and you know, one that we know of at that time frame. If we study the history of Israel, there are times, see, we go down to just one that's walking by faith in a whole nation of people. Whole nation going to the temple and offering our sacrifices on the altar, but only one is standing in faith. That's just awesome. You just go, oh, no. Everybody can't be wrong in that one person, right? Scripture says that's the way it is. You enter into this realm, and it's a tough battle to walk. It's a tough thing to see that the obedience that God wants is faith. And then there'll be an obedience that comes from it. And that's what we're studying Wednesday night. Not being under the law does not mean we're lawless. Not being under the law does not mean we do not have grave responsibilities. And we're studying those with one another. And I don't want you to think that, well, it doesn't matter. Everybody walks in their own faith. No, we're under a higher law. And there are a lot more demands. And that's why people get tied up in the church with saying, see there, you've got to do this, do, and do. But what we have to see is no. What we have to do is faith. But yes, faith will result in wonderful obedience, and a lot of it dealing with one another. So don't get the idea because you're taken out from law and doing that you don't have to do anything, that you're not responsible. Because nothing can be further from the truth. And we have to do a great deal. But it is the Holy Spirit doing it in us. And that's why Christ does call it work. John Harvey and I had a long talk about this. And it is called work. But it's the work of our work is faith, and then the Holy Spirit does things in us, through us. So, okay. Any other thing we need to go into prayer? And let's approach it on, and people deeply in prayer for each other. It's tough to live by faith, and you know it. And there's just so many battles going on right here in this room. And we know about John Harvey's battle. We know about Sue Bayless's battle. We know of some of the battles. And many of your battles we don't know to the extent of them personally, but we know that if you're in it, you're going to be under it. And we need to be an encouragement to each other. That's what we're studying on Wednesday night. That's why you have so many one another's. And I just want to burden you with that so that it just becomes a shock of how much we are responsible for one another. And one strong one is that we pray for one another because we're all in this battle. I need your prayer. I need your prayer in regard to health and in regard to study, in regard to life, there's so many things, and teaching. So let's go into prayer and pray for each other and just spend some time. Let's pray. Father, I want to start praying for our children, the children that we have outside. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is when out of the mouths of just little children that they believe in Jesus Christ and that they know how to trust the Holy Spirit to be their friend and to help them. It's astounding. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to use us in this manner one by one, that we can communicate these things and watch even a little child learn with the simplicity of faith. Yes, to trust the Holy Spirit makes sense. He's God. Let us, Heavenly Father, seize the opportunity that is set before us, teaching our own children how to love Christ and love as Christ loved. Pray, Father, that you'll continue using this assembly in any way that you see fit. If it's through our money, if it's through our message, through tapes, publication, speaking, whatever it is, that Heavenly Father, you will continue to use us. Let us be an encouragement, Heavenly Father, to each other, and not a hurt to each other as we sometimes will. Give us a spirit that will guide us, Heavenly Father, of kindness and being sensitive to each other's needs, what we say and what we do. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity and the short time that we have on earth to see these things that you're working. And we praise you in your Son's name. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity of approaching you in grace and prayer. Pray now that your Spirit will guide us as we move into the opening of Scripture, into the work of the Holy Spirit as we recover from sin and walk in the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's open the Scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Neither one of these men, I'm sure, want any more than, probably don't even want this much at all, but I just want to thank, because it involves the whole assembly in regard to the car, I just want to thank Brian and Jerry taking care of the car, and it's very wonderful, and I appreciate it very much. Now, what we're dealing with is joy and happiness that comes from walking in the light, walking, and the light being, of course, walking in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And the great intrusion to that is sin. And this is what John and 1 John is dealing with. Paul has to deal with it. All the writers deal with it. We have to deal with it. And right now we're looking, once we recover from sin, and we recover from sin by faith, just as we were saved, and so this time the object is our faith in God the Holy Spirit. This is a member of the Godhead. Still amazes me why people don't want to trust in God, but they do. But we're trusting in God the Holy Spirit, third member of the Godhead. Now, there are certain times and things that happen in our life that when we do recover, God the Holy Spirit, not every time, but there are times when God the Holy Spirit goes to some work as soon as we are back into his power that deal with encouraging us not to sin. And this is what we are in the midst of looking at. It's not a matter of which is more difficult, which is more powerful, which is more dangerous, what's going on with John's group or what's going on with Paul's group or what's going on with James' group. Neither one of them are more important. In other words, in James, they were blaming God. In John, they were in denial. In Corinth, they just are so hardened about it, insensitive, they didn't care about their sins. And we're not going to try to say, boy, this one is the worst of all, because they all result in the same thing, and they all feed our arrogance. To blame God feeds our arrogance. To deny we sin feeds our arrogance. And to be totally insensitive about sinning feeds our arrogance. So it's not a matter of one of these is worse than the other. And they're all problems that we're going to have in dealing with sin in all of our lives. Either blaming God, denying, it's a big thing, denying that this is a sin, that what I'm doing is a sin, or just being sensitive about it, and really, I don't care attitude. Maybe we're not so bold as the Corinthians to come out and say it, but to have that in our really in our thinking coming through in our conduct in regard to sin and how we deal with each other. So, the Holy Spirit goes to work in dealing with encouraging us not to sin. And this is what we're looking at, seven works. Seven works. And, of course, seven is the ideal of perfection and the number of the church and type of thing. But these are the works. Behold, again, each time, this will be our last night on this. So let me just use it to say, pay attention, to the work of the Holy Spirit. You've got to walk by the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, follow the Spirit. That means we've got to listen, to present ourselves to Him and listen. And we've got to be aware of His working inside of us. I think one of the best things I can say is that so often a lot of us try to be aware of what goes on in our body. We're aware of when a headache, or aware of this and aware of that, aware of the food we're putting in, what it's going to do, what will this do, what will that do. We need to be aware of what the Holy Spirit's telling us inside. And we've studied some. Let's begin now what diligence takes place. The diligence here takes place of the complacency. Diligence not to sin. Diligence to stay in the battle. But not only that. If diligence wasn't, then what vindication of self? And again, their defense is their position in Christ, and their quickness to reclaim their position in Christ. Reclaim. This idea of vindication is not a wrong one. Let's take a husband-wife relationship in the defense of reconciliation and all of these things. But we are husband and wife. We're a relationship. Let's start with that. And that's what we have with this vindication. I'm in Christ. And so this is what's going on there. What indignation. Not only what diligence, not only what vindication of self, but more. There's still more. This also. What indignation at self for leaving our position in Christ, separating ourselves from Him and from each other. But not only that, but also what fear. Fear of being in sin again, a reverence for the Lord to stay in the power of the Spirit, in His Spirit whom He has sent to us. But not only that, what longing. Last week we spent time longing for what? What are we longing for that's not yet regained? The moment we go back into faith, we're back into fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God the Father. So what are we longing for? What are they longing for? At faith recovery, immediate fellowship with God, but not necessarily restored in fellowship with others. And that's the longing. And we saw now in other verses in Corinthians, in fact, verse 7 of this very chapter, a longing to be back with Paul, who they have separated themselves from because of their insensitivity. So the longing here, there is a hurt to be restored, and to we saw how sin separates. People, nothing you can do about that. Sin's going to separate. And what you want to do is to be restored. Now, before I go to the sixth and seventh work of the Holy Spirit, something came up last week after the class was over, and that's why I like it when you got questions and talk and things, because it brings out things that I haven't brought out. Let me give you a principle. There is a counterpart of each of these in the flesh. And let me give you an example of what I mean. We have just seen in this chapter, in verse 10, for an example, we see a sorrow that is not of the Holy Spirit, but there is a sorrow. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God, the work of the Holy Spirit of God, produces a repentance leading to salvation without regret, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Okay, what do we see? We see a duplicate sorrow, or a counterfeit sorrow. And this sorrow comes from the flesh, comes from the law, comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it leads to death. This is not the sorrow. Well, what I want you to understand is there is also a flesh counterpart to all seven of these. There is a diligence of the flesh to to straighten up one's life. And it often is sincere, and it comes from the flesh. But it's not of the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The same thing is true of a diligence to vindicate oneself. Not to vindicate oneself in the person of Christ, just to justify one, to either one, show that I didn't do that, or two, explain away my sins in some way. Kind of explain it away. And there's a great need to do that. People talk about the need to go ahead and confess that you did the crime, and these things are not spiritual. not talking about a spiritual thing here. We're talking about what goes on in the psychic of the flesh. There is a fear of being caught, a fear of losing something. It's not the fear of being talked about here that comes by the Holy Spirit. Because the fear that comes by the power of the Spirit, we know, is not a fear of being afraid, because where there is love, there is no fear in that category. So this type of fear is a fear of being caught, a fear of losing something, losing money, losing marriage, losing whatever it is you're going to lose. So there's a fear in that regard, in regard to these things. There is a longing of the flesh get back together so often, to get back with the family, with the husband, the wife, the children, the parents, whatever it may be, even friends. And so these do have a counterpart in the flesh. But what we want to be careful of is the working of these, are the working of God, the Holy Spirit. These are things that will happen inside of our soul if we are indeed walking by the Spirit. These are things that He will give us. Now let's take a look, because I do want to finish these last two. Let's take a look at the sixth one. The sixth work of God, the Holy Spirit. And once we recover from sin, that He works inside of us to be an encouragement not to sin. And so let's take a look. He says, not only what longing, but not only that, but more what zeal. Now, the NIV here is weak. The NIV interprets this, it says, what concern. That's very weak, and it misses the point, the depth of the work of the Spirit here. The word, the Greek word, is zealous, zeal. It's like the word fear. It can be used in a good sense. It can be used in a bad sense, like the word fear. For example, 1 Corinthians 13:4 is a bad sense when it says that love is patient or long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. That's the word we have here. So it's there, it's used in a negative or a bad sense. It's used in a good sense in 2 Corinthians 9:2. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely, have been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. In other words, their zeal to fulfill the plan of God has motivated others to fulfill the plan of God. Romans 10:2, have a zeal for God. And so this word can be used in a bad way and in a good way. Now, since we're dealing with what? The Spirit-filled life, and a result of the Spirit-filled life, we know this is good. We know this is the way that God designed it, the effect of the Holy Spirit, the effect of spirituality on us, and we have a desire, a zeal, a fervence. Now, what is the zeal for? The zeal is, again, not to sin. The zeal is to remain in the battle. A lot of these seem to be duplicates, but what the Holy Spirit is doing is just reinforcing. I want you to see that even He is working inside of us to do the will of God. Philippians 1. Even He works within us to do the will of God, and this is part of what He's doing. I don't want, there's a zeal not to sin. There is a zeal to stay in the spiritual life, to glorify God, to accumulate the rewards for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. People, I'm going to be repeating that a lot, because whether or not we are close to the rapture, we are close to your death. I'm sorry, even you young people, it may be 70 years from now, but that's not very long. It may be long to you, but it's not long. So whatever way we want to look at it, you're going to stand, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And here is a zeal in regard to reward, a zeal in reward to reflect the glory of Christ, a zeal not to sin. Now, let's take a look at the seventh impact of the Spirit-filled life. That is an encouragement not to sin, and it says, not only that, meaning not only zeal, what avenging of wrong. This is the seventh and last one. What avenging of wrong. Okay. We have the Greek accusative of ex vexus. The word means vengeance. If there's something to get out of it, I would put it on the board, but we don't need to. The word means vengeance. execution of justice, what is right. These are just right out of the lexicon. To maintain one's right, one's cause. Okay, what's going on? When the work of the Spirit says, what avenging of wrong? All right, first of all, of course, this is not revenge or vengeance. What we have to work in here is, this is very close to the longing. This is very close to the longing. Because when we're restored in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and therefore restored in fellowship with Jesus Christ, there is a longing to be restored with others who belong to Christ, particularly those who we may have sinned against or some way been alienated by sin. So there is a longing for that. Very close to that is a longing here to make right a wrong done. So there is a longing here to make right a wrong done. Now, to make right a wrong done. Be sure you put in your notes, right after you write that, if you do write it and in your soul, if you're just thinking this through, this may not always be possible. This may not be possible. And when it's not possible, this there will be this. I wish that there were, but there's not. But this may not always be possible. Secondly, the other person may not even be interested in it at all. Then that's their relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's their relationship with Christ. That's their relationship with the Father. Right now, all we're talking about is what goes on inside of you and me when the Holy Spirit works us. What is He doing? To make right what a wrong done. When it says, what avenging of wrong. This does not mean, people, in context, this does not mean to go after somebody. This means to make something right. It doesn't mean to go hurt somebody. It means to make something right that has been done and that is wrong. And this may not always be possible. Recovery is always accompanied with a desire to make right, to do what is right or what can be done, or what seems right. For an example, prodigal son that we talked about last week. All right, what I will do here, there's nothing I can do about all that I've done, but what I will do, what did he offer his father? Let me take a lowly job. Let me do that. Just take a lowly position. And of course, the father wasn't going to do that. He restored him with honor that we started on Wednesday night. Restored him in an honorable way. And that was what we studied to give preference to one another with honor, in an honorable manner. And so that's what the father did of the prodigal son. But what I'm looking at is his attitude, being back in the light. What was his thinking? His thinking was to make right a wrong, and in his thinking, that's what would do it. His father would have nothing of it. Now, a religious person will take advantage when you have that kind of an attitude. A person that is not walking in the Spirit, you have to be very careful. A lot of times, husbands and wives will use this kind of an attitude when it's not in the Spirit, but it's there. It has that flesh counterpart. I want to make right. Okay, the best way you can make this right is to get me a diamond ring. That'll make it right. And just being funny, not many of you are laughing, but this will make it right. See? A new car will make it right. No. Sorry. That does not make it right. This is one of the great evils in our judicial system. Just sue for an elaborate amount of money to make it right. That doesn't make it right. There are things that can be done sometime and things that can't be done. But we're being led of the Spirit here. So there is a desire now to make right a wrong done. In the case of the Corinthians, they want to be back under Paul. They want to hear Paul's teaching. They want to get back into what he offered them when he first came to them with the gospel. So here there is a longing of restoration, and then there is a longing to make right a wrong done. I want to make this right. And as I said, you want to be careful. You want to be very careful listening, because this may not always be done. And if the other person doesn't want it to be done, then you don't carry guilt, don't carry heavy. You just put yourself, this is what I would like to be in the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is my heart's desire. But if it's something that can't be done, then, and if someone, let's say that somebody comes to you, because so often this is the other deal, that people be, no, there's nothing, what can you do after what you've done? And you're not then giving them an opportunity to work, to function in the spiritual life. And so you have to be careful when someone comes to you, because you have to then be in the filling of the Spirit so that you're able to rest this and to put this at peace. So avenging a wrong, or as the NIV says, readiness to see justice done. Let's note a couple of things. One, by turning it over to God and leaving it there with Him. Sometimes this is all that you can do. Turn it over to God, leave it there with Him by faith, and move on in spiritual life. Sometimes, people, that's all that you can do, is just turn it over to Him and leave it. And that is making right a wrong done under those circumstances. Secondly, by replacing the wrong with right. Again, this is related to repentance of the damage of sin to another person. And then thirdly, sometimes circumstances will be strong in what the believer will do and what he can do, and sometimes it will not. This is why I'm saying we have to learn to walk by the Holy Spirit on these things, because what I want you to understand is there are people who get a hold of these kind of things and they make whole programs. There's a man who made a whole program several years ago. I can't think of his name, and it's probably good I can't, because it doesn't need me to be mentioned. But he was going around the country, and he was having people, you know, you did somebody wrong 20 years ago, go to them and write to them and all this stuff, and got more people in trouble. I mean, let's say over here you had two people, not married, but just say they're living together. You know what I mean? 20 years later, one of these people is married, happily still, and then this person shows up and wants to talk about it. What happened way back here, and make it right. But no, you don't want to do that. Don't get weird. Holy Spirit isn't going to bring you to the point of being weird or hurt people. He's not going to do that. Am I saying that in every case, something that happened 20 years ago cannot be taken care of? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying that every case, no. This is why, people, we live in the freedom of the spiritual life. And you'll know. He'll lead you. He'll bring about the circumstances. See? But for you to sit down and try to drum these things up and want to go back and do all of this stuff, no. That's the work of the flesh. To get people to do that was a very harmful little movement going on. And it didn't last. It lasted about a decade, I guess. I'm sure it's probably still alive in the outer edges. But it's just like a lot of movements that go on, and eventually it dies out because you begin to see how it hurts. The same type of thing is going to happen to a lot of movements that come along and they go away. But when you walk in the Spirit, you'll have this to make right a wrong, as we have it here. What avenging of the wrong. Okay, summary. Seven effects of the spiritual life to encourage us not to sin. The work of the Holy Spirit. Behold, pay attention to these things. All of these things? Maybe not. This isn't some regimen I'm going to hold, we're going to hold the Holy Spirit to. But these are the things where they fit into where you and I are in coming out of sin. One of these, two of these, three of these, all of these. Maybe more. But we have to be sensitive, and they are an encouragement not to sin. So people who tell me, you know, well, I went into faith and, you know, I just went right back to sin. I want you listening to the Holy Spirit and moving on in faith, because these are the things that will happen. What earnestness here. In other words, what diligence, as we study. Diligence to stay. People, if there's a diligence to stay in faith, you're not going to go right back to sin. If he said, well, I just went right back to the sin or the same sin or something. Well, it's a total diligence to stay in the spiritual life, diligence in their faith. What vindication? But not only this, but what vindication? It's a quick reclaim, a position in Christ, reorienting to who I am. But not only this, what indignation itself for leaving our position in Christ. See, what vindication? Claiming my position in Christ. What indignation? Indignation of myself, indignant of myself for leaving my position in Christ. What fear that I would leave him again, and the fear to stay in the battle. What longing? Now we've gone from the spiritual now to the relationship with others. What longing to be with other believers that are offended. What zeal to move on into the righteous life and prayer and scripture, witnessing, doing the things that the Spirit will lead. What avenging of wrong. In other words, righting the wrong that has been done. And then it says, in everything you demonstrate yourself to be innocent of the matter. The spiritual life, people, has overt manifestations before God, overt manifestations before man, overt manifestations before angels. And one of the impacts of the spiritual life is being right before God, which has an impact, people, of being right before man. Look at Galatians chapter 5 with me a moment. Turn over a few pages to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 24. Now what we've looked at in verse 22 and 23 are what? They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit will do inside of us. But the fruit of the Spirit, the work of God the Holy Spirit in me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Man's law, spiritual, whatever. Now verses 24 and 25. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So what we have in walking by the Spirit are the things that He's going to guide us to do, the things that He is going to guide us in our relationship. Okay, this sets us up now. Next Tuesday evening, 1 John chapter 2, and finishing up verse 1, and we've got a beautiful study that I've really never studied with the assembly, and that is Jesus Christ is our advocate right now at the throne. In other words, when you and I sin, and like man, probably the Lucifer, like man, has just certain things that, boom, the moment you do them, he shoots up top and tells God, can't use them anymore, tells God, they ought not to be saved, tells God, look what they did, tells God, throw you out. And we have a lawyer up there. No matter what you may think of lawyers, next week you're going to have a good attitude about lawyers. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. At least one lawyer anyway. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, next week we'll get into studying the work of your Son in regard to when we sin. As if dying on the cross and paying for it was not enough, Heavenly Father, we're going to study what He's doing for us now. But Father, we praise you tonight for the work of the Spirit that you sent to us in regard to sin. That He is the one, Heavenly Father, who will deliver us out of the power of sin back into His power. And then, Heavenly Father, He immediately cares so much that we walk in the light and not in sin, that He starts to work to build an edifice around us that will be an encouragement not to sin. Father, as we study these things, simple as they seem, we see your genius and your love and your grace that you've given to us through your Spirit, even from Him, the encouragement not to sin. Call us, Heavenly Father, to have a love of your word, to want to see these things, understand them, have them become a reality in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.